He's having a ball. And, you know, they asked me to get on the mic. And they asked me, can I kick it? Words. Can I kick it?
Oh, Tom. All right, dude. Listen, man, first things first, I appreciate you being on the show, buddy. I like to express gratitude as much as I possibly can. And I'm grateful for you being here. So thank you for being here, buddy.
I'm grateful to be here as well. And I'm grateful for you for coming on my show. So guys, for those of you that are listening, Chris and I did the old podcast swap, man. So he was amazing on my show. That's going to be coming out soon. But I'm hoping that I can return the favor.
I, you know what? Thank you for saying that. And I'm 100% positive you can return the favor. And, you know, today I would love to be able to hear a little bit about Tom that you can educate us all on, specifically what things that people might not know. And I told you I wanted to start with your family. I actually just found out you had a daughter as well. I thought you only had a son. So tell us a little bit about family man Tom, and we're going to talk business and so on and so forth.
Yeah. Well, that's my favorite thing to talk about is my family. Good. So I've been married for, it's going on 30 years. And,
wow.
Yeah, we've been together a long time. My son was born, 25 years ago today, tomorrow. So tomorrow's my son's birthday. The reason I had to think about that is because he's in Japan.
Yeah.
So technically
it's already his birthday. Yeah.
Right now. Yeah. And my wife told me as I left the house this morning, she said, you better wish your son a happy birthday at 10 a.m. because it's midnight his time. Uh-huh. So he's actually just turning, like literally right now, he's just turning 25. And then my daughter is 23. And so my daughter lives in Manhattan. She works at an investment bank. She was a very competitive and successful gymnast, was heavily recruited. Great story. She actually turned down a full athletic scholarship to Ohio State. To go to UPenn. So she wound up getting an Ivy League degree, went to the University of Pennsylvania, competed there, had a bunch of injuries. So it unfortunately ended her career a little early, but took that Ivy League education, got a job working for an investment bank. So she's doing really, really well. I couldn't be more proud. My son graduated from United States Naval Academy in 2021 and is now serving our country as a Marine Corps officer in Okinawa, Japan. So he's doing his thing. He'll be doing that until May of 2026. And then hopefully he'll come and join me in the family business.
You must be proud.
Yeah, man. Super proud. I couldn't be more proud, to be honest. I of both my kids, took the hard road. One of the things that I think I'm most proud of as a dad is that they both took the hard road. They could have just kind of sat back, kind of both not, you know, they could have taken athletics less seriously than they did. They could have even taken their academics less seriously than they did. Both of them could have come and worked for their dad's business and got involved in the dad's business really right out of high school, right out of any college, but they chose to go to and elevate themselves to get to top universities. My son didn't have to serve. He doesn't have to serve. He knew he was going to come work with me. That was something that he was led to do. So I am proud of them for those reasons as much as anything else.
Sounds like they're smart kids.
They must take after their mother.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, man. It looks like I was doing a little research into, it looks like you went to Rutgers yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, I did. So Rutgers University. So my son wrestled in in high school and in college. Yeah. I wrestled in high school and in college. So we have that in common. He was way better than I was. Recruited athlete. That's how he wound up at the Naval Academy. I was a recruited athlete. That's how I wound up at Rutgers. I was not the student that my kids are. I will say that. I think that I've gotten to where I am, not so much on my intellect, but just on hard work and consistency, habits, and persistence. Maybe coupled by my good looks. I don't know. I'm going to throw that in there.
I would agree.
For debate.
I would agree.
Just saying.
You know, and 100% and good, because I can relate to that. It's hard work, consistency, and discipline, tough, right? Just like we talked about on your show. And there's so much to Tom that I think is important for everyone to understand. We're going to get into your business here in a moment, but tell me a little bit about your wife. And it sounds like you guys split your time between Jersey and Boca, correct?
Correct. Yeah. My wife's an amazing, amazing person, an amazing partner. She is kind of the opposite of me. I'm very outgoing, social. She's very introverted. Not that she's not social, but she's a very private person. So we complement each other, but she's the strongest person I know. And she can handle
anything. Women are tough, dude.
She's tough, man.
Dude.
She's so tough. And she's just so resilient.
Yeah.
And she's, you know, just like all of us. I mean, she had her share of hardships and going through some difficult, she went through a lot of difficult things, but I got to tell you something. She is a rock, man. And so much of what I have and who I am came from having such a great support system as a partner, as a spouse, encouraging me, inspiring me, getting me to want to live to a higher level and bringing me to a higher level. And I know that not everybody could say that in their marriage. And I'm not just saying that. I'm being honest. I owe her so much of the success that I have achieved.
I'm sure you're familiar with Napoleon Hill, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And many authors write about this, including Napoleon Hill, that if one person is successful in a relationship, let alone two, but if one person is successful in a relationship, the data typically shows that the partner breathes life into them. And it's interesting, you know, running around the circles that I run in and people that I talk to and so on and so forth, they have a very similar comment, which is what you just said. And they say that their partner is more or less the reason why they've been able to do a lot of, if not all of, what they've done. And it sounds like that's exactly it in your wife's case. And on top of that, let's just be transparent for a second. Tom, we're both guys. We're both wrestled. We've done the combat sports. We both carry a lot of muscle. We're both in shape. But let me tell you something. My opinion is women are tougher.
Hell yeah.
Women are tougher than dudes.
No doubt.
Just because we're big and carry muscle and, you know, wrestle and so on and so forth, I don't really think it holds. I don't think it holds any weight to how tough women are. I really believe that, like, they bring life into this world. I mean,
they have to go through childbirth. We don't.
It's just like, you know, and like I've heard a lot of women talk about like the correlation to death, like the euphoric feeling just before the birth of the child, or the actual aspect of the childbirth is very euphoric, like similar to death. So they bring their bodies close to a death type feeling just to bring life into the world. So I don't know your wife, but I'm sure she's amazing. It sounds like she's amazing and had a huge part in raising your kids too, and helping you get to where you're at today, which, but you didn't mention, do you guys split your time between Florida and Jersey? Is that the way that it sounds?
Yeah. And point of correction, it's 27 years that we're going to be married in May 27. I said 30. I don't know. That just came into my head.
Yeah. You're rounding up.
Yeah. And another point of correction, she really was the main driver in how successful our kids are. Honestly, I give her the credit to how far my kids have gone. She was a disciplinarian. Mm-hmm. She really was the I think the reason why they were able to achieve so much. And yes, so we actually have, we split our time in three places. So I have a house and live in northern New Jersey. I live in a town called Montville, which is where my office is. Mm-hmm. I also have a house at the Jersey Shore. So I have a house on the beach at the Jersey Shore, a place called Lavalette, New Jersey, which is awesome. I love my place at the shore. And then I have a place in the Boca Raton area. I actually sold my place in Boca. I'm in Deerfield Beach now, about a mile down the road from where I was. So we are bouncing around into three different places. You know, in the summertime, I'm at the shore most of the time. Winter, I split between Montville and Florida. So it, we kind of bounce around.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. I mean, work hard, play hard, right?
Heck yeah, man. That's me.
Now, and I take it you're able to operate your company virtually. You don't have to be there in person. And let's just make sure I could say the name correctly, because when I was looking at everything, I initially said, what did I say? Carlone. I said Carlone. Yeah, that's initially what I said. And then you corrected me. How do we say the name of your company?
It's Carolyn, right?
Carolyn. So
it's like the woman's name. It's called mm-hmm. The Carolyn Group. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people think I named the business like after my wife, but my mm-hmm. name's wife is Chris. It's not Carolyn. My daughter's name's not Carolyn. Mm-hmm. When I first started the business, I had a partner and his last name was Dolan. So we combined Caravella and Dolan and came up with Carolyn. Mm-hmm. And it just stuck. To tell you the truth, I bought him out 6 months later. It just, the partnership didn't work out. So I'm the sole owner, have been for over 20 years. But at the time, I was going to change the name. But my biggest client, and actually my only client at the time, was Bristol-Myers Squibb, huge pharmaceutical company. And I was talking to one of my key contacts, and I said that I was thinking about changing the name. And she's like, you can't, because our vendor list is closed and I won't be able to get your company back on the list. So we won't be able to do business with you. So I was literally forced to keep the name and it stuck. And you know what? Here we are 20 something years later.
Carolyn Group. It's interesting because I was going to ask you if you had partners because it's named Group, but it's just you now?
It's just me now. Yeah. Yeah.
So walk me through what you do, because I won't be able to say, give it any justice what you do.
Yeah.
I mean, cause like guys like me, right? Like I'll look at a service or a business similar to, and I'd be like, these guys are awesome recruiters, but I don't think that would do any justice to what you actually do. But I could tell you what you and Aaron, our mutual friend, I would say are definitely the most successful at the aspect of business that you guys do. So talk to me about your company and basically what you do.
Yeah. Well, first of all, thank you for comparing me to Aaron, because he's a friggin' rock star in this space.
He's one of the most dialed in humans I've ever met.
And one of my favorite people on the planet. So comparing me to Aaron is a tremendous, tremendous compliment. He's an amazing person. There's another guy actually in Arete. His name's Brent Orsuga. I want to give a shout out to Brent.
Yeah.
He's very, very successful in the recruiting space. And so Brent and I are a little different from Aaron. Aaron has a recruiting company or companies. He has a bunch of companies.
Yeah, he's got a family of companies.
And he caters to a lot of different industries. Brent just caters to supply chain and logistics. And I just cater to pharmaceutical and biotech. Mm. But the thing that's even a little more unique about what I do is I'm kind of a niche within a niche within a niche. Mm. What that means is we are a recruiting firm that not just focuses on pharma, we focus specifically in the medical affairs department of pharma and biotech. Mm-hmm. But even more specific, there's only really one type of role that we really focus and specialize in, and that's what's called a medical science liaison. So a medical science liaison is like a scientific sales representative, for lack of a better explanation. They don't sell anything. They're non-promotional. It's actually the opposite. They're highly scientific individuals, doctorate level, PharmD, MD, PhD, really super smart folks that are educated on the science and data behind the drug. And they communicate that to the healthcare professional so that they understand what the research is behind the drug. And then it's up to the physician to recommend whatever it is that they think is best. So we specialize in medical science liaison recruitment. And I know there's a lot of entrepreneurs listening to this. So you might be like, all right, well, Tom, what does that mean? What that means is companies like big pharmaceutical companies, small biotech companies, and everything in between will come to us, ask us to find these individuals, right? So let's just say a company says, we need 4 medical science liaisons. I give it to my recruiting team. I have a team of recruiters. We send the candidates in to interview for the positions. When they get hired for the position, we get a fee. So our fee is 25% of the starting salary. So if the starting salary of a medical science liaison is $200,000, which is around typically the average, we'll send an invoice for $50,000. So for us, the goal is let's try to make, you know, we make 10 placements a month. That's $500,000 in revenue per month. So there's the, that's the nuts and bolts of it and kind of the dollars and cents of it as well.
Interesting. Now, how long did it take to get to the point to where you're placing 10 of these people per se per month at this level? Did it take 30 years or did you just go into business, Tom, and bang, that's what you were doing?
Well, it's I've been doing this for 20 years and that's my goal this year is to do 10 a month. Mm-hmm. So that was, I didn't say that by mistake. We talked, we just talked about manifestation and that's mm-hmm. part of the manifestation is that's where my head is at. Mm-hmm. My head is I want to average 10 placements a month at 200,000 a pop, or 50,000 a pop, 200,000 average fee, or average salary.
Commission. Yeah.
And then at the end of the day, there's also, there's some project work we do. There's some other stuff that we do. So if that could be the basis of what we do, that's a really successful year. It took 20 years to get here, though. I would say that there were many years where we were kind of flat in. We, you know, we would produce pretty consistent placements and numbers, but it was more probably, I would say, 1 to 2 to 3 million in revenue per year, whereas we're looking to be 5 to 10.
Yeah. Thank you for explaining that. And I think it's super important, especially for everyone listening, right? Like you're 20 years down the road. And I think you were, if I'm not mistaken, you were in your industry for 10 years prior or something along those lines. So you have 30 years experience, 20 years of business ownership, and you're looking at that mid 7 to 8 figure mark at this point. If you reverse engineer and come all the way down to maybe the first couple of years, because a lot of people listening are in that position, Tom, what did that time look like for you in contrast to where you are today?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I started my business when my kids were babies. As a matter of fact, my son was just born when I first got into the recruiting industry.
Yep.
So it wasn't an easy time for me to be an entrepreneur, a business owner, and scale a business. First of all, I had no background in recruiting. So as you said, I spent 10 years in pharmaceutical sales.
Ah.
And the way I got into recruiting, literally, I was at the gym. I was having a conversation to the guy literally next to me on the elliptical machine next to me. And he said that he and a bunch of his buddies who were software developers were starting a recruiting firm for IT people, technology people, mm-hmm. and asked me, hey, you know, I understand you're a sales guy. We need somebody to help us with sales and marketing. Would you be willing to come and help us? Yeah. And I said, yes. I learned part-time about recruiting, but they didn't have any recruiting experience. So we kind of learned it together, but I wasn't trained ever. Mm-hmm. So when I started my own business, I left those guys a couple years later, started my own business. I was a new dad. I was getting thrown into a whole new industry and I had to figure it out on my own. And I think the biggest mistake I made for entrepreneurs out there, to answer your question, that are in that situation, don't try, get help.
Yeah.
I was, and I'm kind of a recovering control freak.
Right.
I wanted to do everything because I thought that that was the only way, like, yeah, to get it same. Done right.
I was raised codependent too. Yeah.
And it was a mistake.
Yeah.
And it took me a very long time to get to, I mean, the trajectory of growth for my business was a snail's crawl. It was not, I mean, you look at someone like Aaron, I mean, this guy's like, he's got a monster business. Mm-hmm. I'm still developing and growing. As a matter of fact, I think my growth, but now for the next probably 10 years is going to be way more than the last 20 years. Mm-hmm. Just from what I know and being able to get to dedicate the time to it. I was really a dad first. I coached everything. I was at every event. I never missed anything.
Yeah. You were there for your kids. Yeah.
You know, so I think, and again, I wouldn't have changed a thing, but looking back, from a business standpoint, what I would have done differently was absolutely have gotten help, a coach, a mentor, even a partner. I never had any partners after the initial partner that lasted 6 months.
Yep.
So I really think that's important to educate yourself, ask for help. Don't go it alone if you can avoid that, because there's so much to be learned from other people.
Well said. Absolutely well said. Now, you're absolutely right. And I respect the fact that you were a father for your kids first and a husband for your wife first. And it's interesting. You mentioned something that your trajectory over the next decade is, you know, likely going to highly outperform your first 20 years or something along those lines, right? It's interesting. I talk about this too, just at a different level, right? Like at year 15, I figured out some basics, right? And my growth over the past couple of years has shot past the first 10 significantly. And I think what happens is guys like us, right? We let control go along with other things, step past our ego, start asking for help, you know, getting help and so on and so forth. And I don't know if you would agree with me, Tom, but really we just figure out some basics and just do it well, you know, and that's where the real growth comes in. Would you agree with something like that?
I do. I think that it's funny how when I go back and look at the body of work, so you said, you know, at the 15 year mark, you learned something and you go back and look and it's really the basics that get you there. But what is important is the consistency of doing the basics really well every day. Mm-hmm. So for example, if any business, you have a responsibility to sell something. You're either selling a product or a service.
Yeah.
So if you're inconsistent in your sales effort, you're inconsistent in your marketing effort, as basic as those activities may be, mm-hmm. and you take your foot off the gas, you're going to see a dip in your sales. You're going to see a dip in your production because you're not being consistent in what might be the most basic of things, whether it's email marketing, phone calls, or whatever else. So when you break down what you said, just the basics of what should happen every day, be consistent in your efforts to do it, that's what's going to drive your growth. Not the big home run, not the big, oh, well, we have this great idea. Because sometimes the biggest ideas never get implemented.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're absolutely right. And we could talk about that forever. But, you know, given the time restraints for us both today, I think we should definitely ask the question of your business growth. Is there any correlation to how you've grown your podcast? Your podcast, if I'm not mistaken, is MSL Talk, yep. Correct?
MSL Talk, yeah.
MSL Talk, you've done an extraordinary job with. And of course, and my question to you, Tom, is there any correlation between what we're talking about and how you grew your podcast? Meaning what you figured out in business at whatever year, you know, second decade, and how well you've grown your podcast. Did you take those lessons that you learned in business and apply it towards your podcast? And here you are doing extraordinarily well. Is there correlation? Is there a polarity?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, absolutely. Because I've become, and just to give you an example, I've become very methodical about how we run the business. Mm-hmm. It's more of a process and a mm-hmm. system than it is anything else.
Yeah,
my podcast became a process. It became a system.
Yep.
And the timing of the podcast, the focus of the podcast, and the content of the podcast is what's made it successful, combined with the system and the consistency of it. So there's a lot of other ingredients that made the podcast successful. But when you break it down and look at it as a system, when you break a business down and you look at your business as a system, as an engine, as a process, that's what makes it successful. If you don't have some type of systematic approach to the strategy of your business, I think you're missing the mark. Mm-hmm. I think that's a key to success.
Yeah. Can you expand on that? Because I think what you're talking about is entry level, yet high level at the same time, because I think a lot of people at the entry might not understand what you're talking about. And the higher level people agree, but they're like, oh, yes, explain in detail what you're talking about. I understand what you're saying. Coming from the military, everything is a system and a process. So implementing that into my businesses was something that I didn't struggle with. However, now at this point in my career doing a little coaching, I find that most people miss the mark here. So talk to me. I mean, are we talking just like everything has a system or everything has a process, or in a macro perspective, there's this huge process and system that you're using, or both?
Yeah, it's both. So I'll use kind of me as an example, but I can use anything as an example. But I'll tell you, going back to me being this recovering control freak, you know, back in the day, I did everything because I thought that that's the way businesses had to be done. You needed to take matters into your own hands. So I was responsible for the sales and marketing, business development, that piece of it. I was also doing recruiting. So I would go out and get the jobs that companies wanted us to fill. And I'd go out and get the candidates and I'd submit the candidates. And then when they wanted to interview the candidates, I would schedule the candidates. And, you know, so now as a business owner, how do you scale a business if I'm doing everything? Mm-hmm. So the system that I have now, fast forward 20 years, is I have one person that does all the scheduling. It's a full-time job based upon the amount of work that we have.
Yep.
I have one person that handles the clients. So she's the account manager. She deals with the clients, all the day-to-day interaction. She submits the candidates to the clients. She handles any questions. She deals with all of the process of dealing with the clients. And then I have a team of recruiters that they find the candidates. So when we get jobs in, I give it to the recruiters. The recruiter, actually, I don't even give it to them. My account manager gives it to them. And then they recruit the candidates. They bring it into the person that does the scheduling. That person reformats the resume and sends it to the account manager. The account manager sends it to the client. So it's like a factory. The process of us, you know, providing this service to our clients is no different than if you owned a donut shop. Someone has to open up the store. Someone has to make the donuts. Yep. Someone has to sell the donuts to the customers. So each business has to know what are the elements or activities that are going to happen on a daily basis.
Yep.
And what's the best, most efficient way to have the right resources mm-hmm. to manage those activities so that as a business owner, I'm not on the field playing the game the whole time. I'm on the sidelines directing the players, being strategic, and getting more business.
Yeah. 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 I mean, well said. Wow, we need part two. It's really what we need.
Dude, I get so fired up. I literally was like sitting on the edge of my seat, screaming into my microphone.
Yeah. And that's what I'm trying to get from you. You know what I mean? Cause that's how I am too. I'm like super animated and passionate and I start sweating and veins come out of my head and stuff. But that's the sauce, right? Like that's what we enjoy doing as owners at, high level, but there's really no difference between low level, or I should say entry level for anyone listening who's just starting, and higher level. The real difference is just experience and time. And
mm-hmm. Yeah,
the processes that you're talking about are very similar to the things that we do, just with a different product and service, right? And right. You know, I think one of the best things I ever implemented were checklists, honestly. Checklists. Systems with checklists. And mm-hmm. I even use them, you know. Yeah. You know, I actually had to cover down on some things yesterday. I told you I was putting out some fires. Yeah. What did I do? I went and got the system and process for something in particular that I wanted to help with, is really what it comes down to, and followed it myself and checked it off myself and put the yes. I do the times and everything. Everything's handwritten, but you know what? It limits mistakes.
Yeah.
And yeah. if you can, and like I was telling you about before we turned on the camera, we don't have a lot of mistakes in my companies because we have checklists for everything with every system. It's a checklist. So what you're talking about, what I'm talking about, it might sound advanced, guys. And if it does sound advanced, just understand that it's really not. It's just the way things go to keep processes and systems simple. And if you don't have processes or systems, you might be able to find them on Tom's channel. They're definitely on my channel. Browse the episode options, and you can find how easy it is to put these things in place. And Tom, you gave some great perspective on that, man. I appreciate you.
Yeah. And it takes time, right? You and I yeah. didn't wake up and have yeah. like, it wasn't like this mm-mm. from day one. It takes time, and there's an evolution to any business. So what my advice is, just take one piece at a time. So if you're a sole owner, a sole practitioner, and you're in business, and I don't know, let's say you're a landscaper. Let's say you have a donut shop. Let's say you're starting a recruiting company. It's absolutely okay to start small and to do all the work, but then start to think about, okay, well, I need to break this piece off. So maybe it's the scheduling piece. I don't want to do the scheduling anymore. I need to have an admin that's going to do the scheduling, and it's going to send all the resumes out to the clients. And then it's like, okay, I need to find somebody that's going to do the recruiting for me, because I need to help have someone who's experienced at finding candidates so that I don't have to do it all the time. So now what happens is, as you start to break off these different functions, it's freeing up your time to do other things, be more strategic, grow the business. So now what happens is, you're spending more of your time hiring, managing, leading, growing, developing, than you are on the field making the plays, or in the kitchen making the donuts. Yeah. That's the secret. Do it small, break it off into chunks.
Yeah. And chip away at it.
Yeah.
Right. Just yeah. if it sounds overwhelming and it's a big pile of work, just chip away at it every day.
1,000%.
Every day, just chip away at it. I don't know, Tom, if you're a guy like me, I chip away at the big pile of work stuff between like 5 and 8 o'clock in the morning, when I'm not bothered, no one needs me. Yeah. And I have this pile of work that needs to get done. That's not going to happen in one day. It's going to sometimes take months, maybe years. Yeah. And you just chip away at it. And eventually, one day at a time, just like you said, everything takes time. You can make some significant progress.
Well, here's a stat. If you do a task for 18 minutes every day, at the end of the year, you will have put in 100 hours towards that task.
Yeah.
Think about that. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So the magnitude of that consistent effort, as small as it may be, has a compound effect, and that's how you scale, and that's how you grow, and that's how you accomplish big things.
Yeah, man, you're absolutely right, dude. And I really do appreciate you offering this type of perspective to me, to the audience. I think the value that you've provided is significant. And if anyone had a question, and maybe they wanted to reach out to you and ask you about things, maybe some recruiting or your perspective on things, where can someone find you, Tom?
I'm a big LinkedIn guy. Mm-hmm. LinkedIn's really the primary platform that I kind of work off of. I get a lot of interaction from folks. Connect with me. Feel free to send me a request. I'd be happy to connect with you. I think one of the values of connecting with people that may be established in a certain niche or in a certain space is you can see what their social media strategy is on that channel. So you'll see the content that I produce, the stuff that I post.
Excellent.
Learn a little bit about, you know, how I go about my strategy for socials and for marketing. My podcast is super niche. A lot of people come like, oh, I went to listen to your podcast, but I didn't understand it, because it's really for medical folks. Now, there are episodes, like the episode that you and I did is really for anyone. Mm-hmm. So there are episodes that are very, very, they're awesome. And it's more personal growth than
like Newman,
like Ben Newman's podcast, like the episode with Ben Newman.
You had Newman on your show, right?
Yeah, he was great. It was a great episode about, you know, how to find success and achieve your goals. Again, this is really the same stuff through small daily habits and consistency.
Yeah. Control what you can, take a chip at it each day.
Seriously. I mean, for more on that, check out my podcast with CW. Check out my podcast with Ben Newman. It's MSL Talk. You can find it on Spotify or Apple. And then you could scroll through the directory and see which episodes are more medically focused.
You know what? And did you say where on LinkedIn you are? It's your full name, correct?
So it's Tom. Last name is Caravella with one L. A lot of people spell my name with two L's. So it's Caravella.
All right. And, you know, before we finish the show, Tom, I just want to preference with this. Okay. If you could do some closing words, a final piece of advice specifically for entrepreneurs, growth-minded people early in their journey, and you had just one thing to tell them, what would that be?
Don't overthink. One of the biggest things that I think held me back is that I had a limited mindset. I freaked myself out way too many times. I didn't take chances and I overthought too much. And that's a killer. And I'll tell you, it still affects me. I mean, I'm 55 years old and I'm playing with house money now. I don't need to be conservative, but yet at the same time, old habits die hard. And I just think that you need to take the limits off yourself. Think big, dream big, go for it. I'm not telling you to risk everything and do something stupid and be silly, but have faith in yourself, have confidence in yourself, and take some chances, but don't overthink. That's probably one of the, other than me being a control freak, one of the things that if I had to change, I would have stopped doubting and worrying so much about the what ifs and just did it. And don't worry about what other people think. Don't have a case of comparisonitis and look and see what other people are doing and try to, you know, it's good to model yourself and have mentors and look up to people, but don't worry about what other people are doing and don't worry about what other people think.
Yeah. Yeah. Focus on yourself and the anxiety that comes from overthinking could cripple. So you're absolutely right. Excellent words, excellent perspective, excellent man, handsome man. You're just a good dude. So I really do appreciate you. I appreciate your time and I appreciate you taking your time to educate everyone listening. I would highly recommend you guys follow Tom on his podcast and LinkedIn. The dude puts out some awesome perspective. That's for sure. So dude, thank you so much.
Well, I appreciate that, brother. Thank you for having me on. Thank you for giving me a chance to talk to your audience. Last thing I'll say is, guys, I know it's tough out there. I'll say this, you know, sometimes you're out there and you're doing stuff, you're in business and, you know, you hit some curveballs and, it's a little lonely being in business by yourself sometimes. And even if you have partners, but I'm rooting for you. I don't know you, but I could tell you right now, I'm rooting for anyone that has taken the same journey that I've taken. I'm rooting for you. I know that Chris is rooting for you. You have a tremendous, tremendous leader and mentor here at your disposal. This guy's rooting for you. And when you look at when people are choosing teams, if you were back in school and you were out in the playground, and you were choosing teams, he's the guy you choose first. He's the guy that you want in your corner. He's the guy that you want on your team, and you have him on your team. So he's rooting for you. I'm rooting for you. And we wish you all the success in the world.
We win together, right, Tom?
We win, man.
We win together. That's the key. Brother. That's the key. You're a good man, Tom. Thank you for those kind words and thank you for everything.
Yeah, brother. Thanks again. Good luck, everyone.
Can I kick it?
Yes, you can.
Well, I'm born.
Born, man.
Can I kick it to my tribe that flows in layers? Right now, Fife is a point sayer. At times, I'm a studio conveyor. Mr. Dinkins, would you please be my mayor? You'll be doing us a really big favor. Boy, this track really has a lot of flavor. When it comes to rhythms, Quest is your savior. Follow us for the funky behavior. Make a note on the rhythm we gave you. Feel free, drop your pants, yeah, yeah, hey, yeah. Do you like the garments that we wear? I instruct you to be the obeyer. A rhythm recipe that you'll say.